We had the opportunity to have so many people here at this moment, and we have canceled all of them.
We saw you walk up, and everybody else. Rappaport, you're out of here. That's it.
Yeah. No, we're going to do a couple of minutes break and then come back and do the most comprehensive, in-depth segment anybody's ever going to have with the general manager. Joining us now is Rick Spielman from the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. How are you, sir?
Dude, doing very well. Rick, I can see Paul finally showed up to one of your shows.
he thinks
you've been dodging me. I think you've been dodging me.
You've been holding out.
No, on the street.
You're not getting paid enough money.
Well, that is true. That part is absolutely true. And, so, you know, I got to make statements. So, you know, when they want me to show up on a Friday and you're going to be there, Rick, like, you know what? You know, if this is all you're going to pay me, I'm not going to be the one to ask all the hard questions.
I'm not going to waste my time.
No, absolutely not.
How far along the process are you in starting the recon for your first trade in the 2015 draft? You're obsessed with trading. You get to Indianapolis with your deck of cards, and you immediately start the tarot process.
Just try to make a living like every other GM here. Just going through the process and, you know, to see how things unfold.
Right. When your son was in studio with me a month and a half ago after the Eden Prairie Eagles won the state football title, he guaranteed me that April 30th, with the 11th overall pick in the draft, you were selecting West Virginia wide receiver Kevin White. Can you confirm or deny, Mr. Spielman?
His mother was not too happy because he was getting a very low grade in stats at the time he was on the radio. And Mom said, you better focus on your damn stats class before you start telling everybody who your dad's going to take.
But what about the guarantee? He's on to something, isn't he?
He guaranteed he'd get his grade up, and he did.
Okay.
That's about the only guarantee I can care about.
That's the voice of Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. Let's take a quick break, then spend a nice segment with the general manager, chat about the combine and Vikings football, some Adrian Peterson-related stuff, and all that. An elongated segment with Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. As we were sharing between segments, I agree with you with this Brandon Scherff. I mean, if you give him an opportunity at guard in the NFL, he definitely looks like a Mike Iupati kind of mauler, but I can see some Riley Reiff in him too. Brandon Scherff, Iowa.
Yeah, they're all here down here at the Combine this week, and a lot of other good players here as well.
And as we were sharing between segments, we're going to respectfully disagree on Amari Cooper and the Julio Jones comparison. I think Julio's a tick faster, but Amari goes up and gets it nicely, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm glad you're very astute in this area and did a lot of film study and got all this down before you came to the Combine.
Thank
you.
You
got a lot of great opinions.
And I know
I'm sure a lot of people are following what you're saying right now.
Well, now I'm 0 for 2 today, and I'll explain why momentarily. I know Amari played high school football with Teddy, and I know Teddy played college football with Devontae Parker. So in the cliched war room draft day, if you're thinking receiver at 11, then Teddy obviously has to be in there, right?
You know, but on a serious note, since it's hard to get serious, but, you know, I was asked that earlier today, but a lot of things that we do, it's not just Teddy, but it's other players on our roster that may have played with some of these guys that are coming out and try to get some information from them, what they're like, things like that.
You trust those guys to give you
talking to them, and so might as well talk to their agents.
So you don't take
I love the guy.
Right. Yeah. That's how you end up with five guys from Notre Dame on your roster, right?
Yeah, well, geez, his arm's hanging off his back. Well, no, it's nothing. He'll be fine. Yeah. He'll pass a physical.
So no Anthony Barr if you don't talk to Jeff Locke, right?
Well, you're right. Yeah, we base all that on what our players are telling us.
Right. Okay, Charge, take it away.
Especially your punter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he has a lot of time to watch everything on and off the field. He's the perfect guy with whom to chat.
There you go. Well, let's go here. You made a little bit of a buzz this morning when at the podium you told people you expected
it. I didn't go out on podium.
No, not
yet.
The podium.
Not podium.
Yet.
All right. Well, I'm not sure where that was.
I talked to our beat writers this
beat
morning
writers.
Before
Thank
I came
you.
Over.
Thank you for clarifying. And what came across on Twitter was, I think the phrase was, you expect Adrian to be a Viking this year? I don't remember. I wasn't there. I didn't hear it. But you want to?
Yeah, we saw it on Twitter.
You want to just tell our audience what you were talking about with Adrian? And
yeah, no, I think, you know, from what our ownership has said, from what I've said previously, what Mike Zimmer has said, that yeah, Adrian Peterson's a Minnesota Viking, and we expect him to be back with our team next year. He's under contract. You know, he's a suspended player right now.
Yep.
I'm sure he's doing everything he can to get himself back off the suspension list, and we're excited to get him back.
Well, are you allowed to have contact with him?
We specifically are not. There's specific people in our organization that can.
Okay.
But in general, no, because of suspended player, we cannot have direct contact with him.
Who's the – so?
I don't want to get into who can and not can't, but
– Well, I just want to clarify the rules.
There's people – right. You can call the NFL offices right over here. They can tell you exactly who's allowed to – who's allowed to contact and who's not allowed to contact a player that's on a suspended list.
Okay. Well, let's go with that. Before you got here, talking to Ian Rappaport about the date that they put on Adrian's potential return, mm-hmm. Mid-April, was it the 15th?
April 15th.
April 15th, yeah, mid-April date. Is it, I mean, it strikes me that it's extremely unadvantageous for the team because, you know, had it been at the start of the new league year, you'd know what your situation was better. Is the league going to immediately reinstate him? Are they going to draw it out longer? You know, but now you're after free agency, and it puts the team on more of a bind.
Speculation. All we can do is go off what we know today. And as far as today, we know that's the date, and we know that he's a suspended player. But you sit here and go through this hypothetical, that hypothetical. I don't like to deal in hypotheticals.
Right.
We deal in hypotheticals internally. But I'm not going to sit here and share all those hypotheticals and our thoughts.
But it's not in charge. We're here to help.
I'm not even suggesting the hypothetical. I'm saying it sucks. And, you know, I can say it. I realize you guys can't. And the Vikings, I think, have been remarkably good soldiers about just not, you know, not really commenting on any way that's remotely controversial about this. But I think every step of the process here has been bad for the Vikings. I mean, and you guys, it seems to me, have been treated borderline unfairly by the league in this process and to your own detriment. And I know you can't say it, but I can turn around and say it. And I think just this is the latest, you know, this is the last one, choosing an arbitrary April 15th date that's, you know, a month after the start of free agency where you don't, you know, you're not in a position to even know whether or not you're going to have Adrian Peterson and when.
And right now, all we know is what we're dealing with today, and that's all we can deal with is the now.
Yeah. And being at last one on this for me, being as organized and detailed as you are, obviously you have multiple plans. Yeah, I had Mike Zimmer on the radio show a couple of weeks ago in front of the Super Bowl, and he shared that, yes, we have multiple plans regarding what happens with Adrian Peterson. But being at the Combine here, Rick, and with free agency in a couple of weeks and the draft at the end of April, I mean, this – what happens next with him offensively, it impacts so much this offseason, doesn't it?
Oh, sure it has an impact on. Adrian's a, you know, very unique football player, and I've stated in the past, I don't know a team in the NFL that wouldn't want to have a talent of Adrian Peterson on their roster. And, you know, when you're looking at a running back and everyone wants to get on, well, he's a 30-year-old running back. But Adrian is very unique.
Yes.
He was very unique coming off an ACL. You know, he was very he didn't take any hits last year. He played one game last year, didn't get beat up in the preseason. So you're going to get a fresh Adrian Peterson who's probably not your typical 30-year-old running back who I believe, and just knowing Adrian, that he's going to come and play with a chip on his shoulder.
Rick, now that you've broken down the 2014, Teddy Bridgewater, what were your overall thoughts on Teddy and what he fought through in that uncomfortable situation? Comes into the New Orleans game. He's the guy for the rest of the year. You lost Adrian into the New England game. Just where Teddy went from that New Orleans game all the way through the end of the year.
What you've seen in Teddy is just him maturing as a quarterback, getting more comfortable. And the other thing I don't think people realize, and we've talked about this a little bit, when you're in training camp and you're in the OTAs and you're in the mini camp and you have 28 in the backfield, you're doing something different. Then all of a sudden 28's not in the backfield and we have some injuries up on the offensive line and dealt with some other issues. Now all of a sudden Norv and the offensive staff and Zim did a great job adjusting our scheme where Teddy now became the focal point. Well, that's a lot to throw on a young rookie quarterback who probably didn't get those type of reps during the OTAs and training camp, probably didn't run a lot of the spread out stuff that we've seen towards the end of the season. So the more he played and went through some growing pains early, but the more he played, the more comfortable he got. And what's not out there, what you don't see, what you see behind the scenes, is how mature a 21-year-old quarterback can be and how he handled that and how hard that he worked to have the success that he had last year. And we're just expecting that to continue and build from what he was able to accomplish this past season.
Norv Turner told us earlier on the show, maybe he said it before, that he put more in front of Teddy Bridgewater than he ever has a rookie quarterback at any stage of his career. With the no huddle, the shotgun, the audibles, and the whole thing. I mean, that what a compliment for a guy coming from Norv Turner.
And I think that tells you, you know, one, they felt very confident in Teddy that he can handle all that. And then Teddy produced. And the more he kept producing, the more he became comfortable with what we were doing on offense, the more they kept feeding him. And Teddy responded to every challenge that was thrown his way.
In past combines, and I know you can't talk about, you know, you can't talk about free agents coming from other teams, but you can talk about your own. And in past combines, you've been pretty direct about saying things like, re-signing Phil Loadholt is a top priority for us this offseason.
Right.
Is there, I believe you've got six free agents, maybe there's more, but I my list has got six. Is there a one of your own free agents that you feel really strongly about bringing back?
Yeah, we'd like to have them all back.
I know, you say that every year, I know.
You'd really like to have them all back? That can't possibly be true.
But I think
I want Tom Johnson.
You know, what
back.
We were able to do like last year is we really honed in on specific guys that we wanted to try to get extensions done, and we were able to do that with Kyle and with Brandon.
Yeah.
And you know, and we have, as we're going forward here, we have a lot of these guys that we've have first round draft picks on that are going to be coming up, or some guys in those later rounds that are going to be heading into their last year of their contract. That we have a plan in place for who maybe we need to talk about after we get through the draft and potential extensions going into next year and then the following year, because, you know, we feel we have a lot of very good young talented players that are going to continue to grow, and we're going to have to make sure we have enough powder in the cap and in the cash standpoint to be able to extend some of these guys that are our core players.
Do you think defensive tackle depth is one of the strengths of the team? I mean, with Sharif Floyd and Linval Joseph, excellent seventh round find in Shamar Stephen last year from UConn, then Tom Johnson with a career high 5.5 sacks. You know, I mean, I know Zimmer was on record as having some problems with some run defense at certain parts of the season involving that, but everything was new, and to have that core into next year, isn't that a bona fide strength?
And all those guys are not even, you know, Linville's 25 years old. We have a rookie seventh rounder that played great for us last year. And then you saw Sharif start to finally, you know, his second year.
When he was healthy, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so those guys are guys that we have a very good young nucleus of football players on his football team. And those guys coming back into this system the second year, it's not going to be all new. So when you're adding new players either through the draft or if you do anything in free agency, all right, those guys that already been through the system 1 year now will be able to maybe help a little more than because everything was new. We started from ground zero last year.
Yep.
So the most experienced vet to the rookie, we're all on the same plane as far as learning schemes and learning our coaches and what's expected of them. Now that we have that foundation laid, those guys coming back next year are going to have an understanding and idea of what we're trying to get accomplished, and then they can help bring along the new players that we bring into the roster.
We were talking about planning ahead for salaries, and we also touched on Teddy, and it something crossed my mind. And I remember when you drafted Teddy, pick 32, we talked about how you get that fifth-year option, which is awfully nice. But at the quarterback position, by then, usually your quarterback is either working out really well and making a lot more than that by year five, or it hasn't worked out and it's not an option you're going to pick up. So I wonder if the fifth year, in the case of the quarterback in particular, if that fifth year option is as meaningful there as it is on some other positions.
It is, because if you are working on extending that quarterback and you can't come to agreement, you have that fifth year. You still have the leverage because you have him under a contract for that fifth year.
Yeah.
Where if you didn't, if you only had him for 4 years, and all of a sudden you lost that extra year. So that potentially can help you have some leverage because they know he's going to be there for the fifth year.
Although you, in theory, if you, I guess Russell Wilson's kind of breaking the trend here because he's still working under his rookie deal and hasn't been paid.
Right.
You know, hasn't gotten a new deal yet. You wasn't a first rounder.
Yeah.
Right.
He wasn't a first rounder.
Third rounder.
Yeah. It strikes me that, you know, at the quarterback position, usually by then, your guy, you know you've got the guy, and he's going to get a lot more money in year five than, you know, whatever his salary would have been as a first rounder.
So your point?
My point is, I don't know that you get as much bang out of that fifth round option at the quarterback position. Fifth year option, thank you, at the quarterback position than you might at other positions.
Well, I respectfully disagree.
But that's fine.
Because you have him technically under a 5-year deal instead of a 4-year deal. So that gives you an opportunity to work on a potential extension for a longer period of time than if you were crunched in at 4 years.
And you have those fifth-year option. The decisions on Matt Khalil and Harrison Smith are coming up pretty soon, aren't they?
May.
Oh, it's in May, so you have until May?
Yeah.
What, Rick, what are you going to do with those fifth-year options? I think Matt
already know.
Not sure what Harrison's at.
Let us know.
We have to. We got a lot of other things.
Yeah. Many chats before that special.
It won't be that difficult.
Seriously speaking, isn't it nice to come to the combine and head into an offseason as general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, not having to sweat your starting quarterback spot and your head coaching situation?
I think if you can get those two, because I think those are keys to winning in this league, and if you can find your head coach and you can find your quarterback and then build around that, and like I said, we're very excited about a lot of the pieces that we already have in place, but we also know we have to add pieces as well to what we have. But those are the two hardest things to find and the two hardest things to fill. We feel very fortunate that we were able to accomplish both of those last year.
You're approaching your ninth draft with the Minnesota Vikings. At what changes via the process for you year to year? I mean, people say that you learn something new every year is the cliche. For you, what is that? What's different every year?
You know, every year I try to do different things in how we prepare for the draft. And we're doing some things. This year we've added analytics as a part of the draft.
Hmm.
And
so you're following Pro Football Focus.
No, that's not the analytics I was referring to.
Well, right. I am curious what kind of analytics you are talking about.
Well, there are things, and not to get into too much detail, we started going down that path last year a little bit. So you accumulate all these numbers at the combine, vertical jump, 20-yard shuttle, 40 time, 10 time, 20 time, flying 20 time, all this information. And then you have all this data from all the psychological testing. Okay, then you have all the stat stuff. Like if you're looking at 1,000-yard, two running backs that rush for 1,000 yards. One got 400 of those yards after contact. One only got 100 yards after contact. What does that do? So if
a
you
lot
could,
in that example, I think.
Right. Well, I'm just that's just a so now break it down by position. What's the most important athletic traits at the position? Not just the overall athletic number. For example, you know, we kind of start leaning it that on a cornerback, the flying 20, which is from the 20 to the floor 40, was more important that he continues to stay at that same level or accelerate through it. Guys that decelerated through it because they had a quick start but they didn't finish as strong struggled a little more playing corner in this league. So when you can get some lot smarter people than I am to take all this data, to twist it around, to come up with different thoughts, you know, like an offensive tackle that runs a 5.3 40 and has less than a 32 arm at length struggles to start in this league, regardless if he's a first round talent or not. There's only been a couple.
Yeah.
So we're going to always grade by what we see on the tape, and we're going to put him in, and we're going to put him in. We don't grade by round. We grade by the categories. And then when we get within those categories, can analytics play a role on making a determination with you go with this guy or that guy? You're saying they're equal in ability. Now, how do you drill down even farther to say, well, from a statistical analysis standpoint, this guy's probably going to have a more chance to succeed because of his psychological test score, because not of his athletic numbers, but the traits at that position will have a better chance of becoming a player than that other guy, even though they're equal in ability. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the way you're explaining that, I just keep thinking about Harrison Smith. I mean, it just seems like everything you just explained, I'm thinking, okay, well, Harrison does this well and does this well against the run, good guy off the field, smart guy. It leads you to guys like that, right?
Right, and we've always done that, but if you can take it a step further and actually have someone smart enough to take these millions and millions of numbers
points
that
of
we
data.
Have
yeah, that's
and
right.
points of data
wow.
and somehow twist that all around and come up with algorithms
yeah.
and come up with some theories.
Jesus, Rick.
Then you're going to sit there and say, well, does this have some validity to it or does it?
Well, so, who does that?
Well, huh?
I mean, who does that, like, within the organization without naming names? Is it a team effort?
No, we have some guys that can do it internally, and wow. We've also hired a consultant on the outside.
Sweet.
There's a company, I think, called Zebra Technologies that's going to be putting chips in, like, shoulder pads and for sure, and balls, I think, beginning this year. So you're going to get all kinds of data that's going to be captured mid-play.
You know, people are doing a lot with the GPS, but in the NFL, in the college especially.
Yeah.
People are using GPS trackers in the NFL now, but you can only use that during practice. You can't put any kind of tracking device on a player during a game. That all has to be collectively bargained on what you can and can't use from a data standpoint. But it's amazing the technology, where it's going, and if you're using a GPS tracker and you're watching that guy during practice and you see him not at the same workload he was 3 days ago, is it because he's starting to tire? And is that going to make him more susceptible to pulls? So can it be an indicator of eventually or potentially trying to say, well, this guy's got a chance to pull his left hamstring because he's favoring it more than his right hamstring? It can tell you the data of the explosion when those guys are in contact.
How great is that?
There's, like I said, so much stuff that are out there, and it's an infinite amount of that data that you can somehow collect all. Then that thing just, all that fascinates me. How can you use that to really help you make better decisions?
When you're, go ahead, Charge.
Well, another example is, you know, you could figure out when a player, you know, a certain, say, defensive player tires after, you know, typically eight plays. You can tell that the heart rate's way up. He's slowing down. He's not hitting with the same impact, usually right around eight plays.
Right.
That's your sign to cycle him out.
Time for two more for
Except
Rick, guys.
If we're, you know, if we're on a third and eight situation and Teddy's like, heart rate's a little high, he ain't coming out.
That is true.
When you watch all these,
so you take it with a grain of salt.
That's
too.
Right.
That's not the be all to end all. That's just another tool that you use to help, you know, make decisions.
When you watch all these drills, the shuttle, and just everything, when you watch all these drills at the combine, how do you make sure you don't get so overwhelmed with what you've seen here that you end up with the next Troy Williamson?
Well, I don't know about the Troy Williamson, but I do know that's why we have our draft meetings, you know, for the last 8 days before we came down here. I won before we get all this other data. It's kind of the purest form because we're just grading them as football players. And we're putting them on our board right now as football players and what we've seen without all the other. Now, when we start adding all the stuff, it'll shift here and there. But I can tell you, a guy that maybe we have developed in the, even though we don't do rounds, but technically in the sixth, seventh rounds, because he does so well here, he's not going to all of a sudden shoot up the draft board. So our philosophy has kind of been, let's get them all graded. Let's place them on what they are as football players, and then we'll get all the other ancillary things that we collect, and then we'll start going ahead and defining that.
Last one for the general manager, you get it.
At this time last year, at the combine last year, were you already close enough on your grades that Anthony Barr was a guy that you know, felt like it was a decent chance to become a Minnesota Viking on draft day, you know, 2 months later?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, it means, you know, you know what your first round pick's going to be. Was Anthony Barr in that,
right,
you know, among
but
the
I,
players that you were,
I can
that
also
you were pretty
tell
close
you
to?
This is now we've been through a full year cycle in understanding what our coaching staff and the traits they're looking for. There'll be guys that we'll even hone in more on the draft, and there'll be a guy that we may pass that guys, you know, that the public will say, why the hell did you pass on that guy?
Yeah.
Because he may be a good player in another system, but what we're going to ask him to specifically do, he's not going to be able to function as well. So
sure,
he may be an average player in our system, but a good player in another system. So we spent a lot of time, and that's something that's, you know, and just to tell you how Zim is, we were in meetings last 3 weeks. You know, we were at, and all of a sudden, we got a little cloudy on one position. And so I asked the scouts, I said, you know, do you guys understand exactly what we're looking for? And they said that we're still a little cloudy on that one trait that we were trying to identify.
Yeah.
So I go in and I go grab Zim. I said, Zim, come on in and talk to our guys. We're cloudy on this one trait. Well, it was an offensive player, so he goes grabs Norv, he goes and grabs the offensive staff. They were in a meeting. He pulls them out of a meeting. We sit down and have an impromptu 45-minute film session identifying that trait.
Wow.
I said, do you guys have any questions now on what this trait is we're looking for?
Yeah.
No, it's very clear. But those are the things I think that how it is working with Mike and how detailed it is and how much better we are as a staff because we're all speaking the same language and looking at the same things.
And yeah. I love that your scouts were honest and said, you know, we're not totally clear on this.
And I can tell you this. We have a great group of scouts, and they are not yes men whatsoever. But they are guys that are going to tell you their opinion, just like the coaches are going to tell you your opinion. I'm going to put it all together, but no one's going to sit there. I said, you get paid for your opinion. You don't get paid to agree or disagree with me. I'll correct you on that.
You know what? I know you got to go. I stick by what I said between segments. I think on first and second down, Shaq Thompson would be a fantastic safety. And then in nickel situations as a linebacker with that athletic ability, that's just something that I agree with you. You have to give it a long, hard thought.
Yeah, and for your, you know, at 11, we get four players with that 11th pick, so we'll have a lot of options.
You're the best, man. Thank you for coming by. All right,
thanks, Rick. All
right, guys. Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings. We put a wrap on day one at the 2015 NFL Combine after this.